لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. Respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a perfect deen. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected the deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with teachings which are applicable throughout time and will be applicable until Yawmul Qiyamah. And as Muslims, the A to Z of our life has been taught to us, shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if ultimately one brings these aspects of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into his or her life, then there will be benefit both on an individual capacity but as well as a collective capacity. So the more we as believers in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implement the teachings of Shariat, the teachings of Deen into our life, the more we will see the benefit of this. And today I wanted to focus on one aspect, just to give some points in regards to one aspect, that when a person loses somebody or someone dies, then there is this concept of ta'ziyah. Ta'ziyah basically comes from the Arabic word of meaning patience, and more broadly it means to encourage one to be patient, the one who is bereaved, the one who has lost somebody, to be patient by mentioning the rewards and the virtues in those difficult times. Now, many customs are prevalent within this whole ta'ziyah and how one, gives the encouragement of patience, and what a person does when he goes to sit at somebody's house or a place to console somebody and to give them the explanation of the rewards and the virtues. Many a time we don't know what to say as well. So it's important for us to understand, in the light of the Quran and the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in terms of how we should be doing ta'ziyah, how we should be going, and how we should be helping those who have lost somebody. Because ultimately, death is an event, something that's going to happen. It's inevitable, we know. And every single person here will experience death at some point. And it will experience, in a personal capacity. But also, those around them are going to leave this world. So in those moments, those challenging moments where a person is going through difficulty, what should a person do? So first and foremost, there are many virtues that are mentioned within the corpus of ahadith and the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One being that man azza masaban falahu mithlu ajrihi. And we're only going to mention one today, that the one who is who makes sure that he helps someone at the time of a difficulty, the one who is going through difficulty, he goes and he exercises and explains to them to be patient and explains the virtues of being patient and says the right things, then for him will be the same amount of reward as the person who is going through the difficulty. So when our deen, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us reward, it's an opportunity for us to go. And this is something that even when we go and we sit by somebody's house or some place where they've organized to sit and visit the family of the deceased, many a time there'll be the elderly folk that will go, but the youngsters don't really go. Because generally, the youngsters, they don't really know what to say, or they feel that it's a bit awkward, or they don't know how to basically work or what to say or how to carry themselves. So they don't even take part in this amal of ta'ziyah. So this is one thing. When should we go for ta'ziyah? So obviously a person can go for any of the first 3 days. So after the loss, any of the first 3 days. Yes, if there is some exception, there are some exceptions where a person is traveling or he has gone somewhere, he can't make it straight away, so he goes later on with the purpose of just visiting the family. It's a close friend. It's someone he knows very well. He's grouped with, or she has grouped with, and he was away, so he comes back and he wants to visit that person and face to face, have some contact. So it's possible there are some exceptions. But in terms of Shariat, in terms of the actual guidelines, it's for 3 days. So the first 3 days, for 3 days someone has left the world, for 3 days the ta'ziyah can take place. And there is good reason for this. One must understand that as well as, just as someone has left this world, the same way that we want to mourn them and we feel sad, and it's a human trait, we need to get back to the motion of life. Going back to work, bringing up our children, eating, drinking. This is taught to us by deen. We have a beautiful religion that has the middle path. In some religions, they mourn the deceased for many, many months, for a full year, and every year they will remember the one who has died and so forth and so forth. But our deen has stipulated 3 days, with exception of what we've mentioned, but 3 days. But a person goes and he goes and sits for a little while. We will get onto that, inshallah, in terms of what should we say, what should we do. What if a person can't make it, he's living on the other side of the world, he's going to be there for a few years. So even within the corpus of a hadith, there is an incident whereby Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, who you know, a famous companion, was sent to Yemen towards the latter stages of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an envoy to go and teach the people of Yemen religion, deen, the Sharia, the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he lost his son, and when he lost his son and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know about it, he wrote a letter to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. So writing a message is also something that a person can do. In this day and age, it's even easier with a WhatsApp message or an email or a phone call. But Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he received this message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained and has reminded Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu about the fact that how much reward there is for you. فَعَذَّمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ الْأَجْرِ وَأَلْهَمَكَ الصَّبْرِ. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's given him dua, and he's told him, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire you to be patient, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the ability to be grateful as well. So many a times, when we lose somebody, then we feel, you know, we've lost somebody, and it's hard, and it's a challenge. But what we forget is that it's something to be grateful about, in the sense that this individual that was part of our life has benefited us, they have helped us. And this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave us such an individual who ultimately was of benefit for us. This is a ni'mah. So for this we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, who is told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this child that you had, you benefited from him, and we are able to benefit for a certain amount of time, which is stipulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this blessing that's been given, and now it's the moment to be grateful and also to be patient. And both of these things should lie hand in hand when, as believers, if we are going through difficulty, we have to be patient. And if we are going through moments of bliss and ease, then we have to be grateful. And being patient is also a challenge, but being grateful is also a challenge. Because when a person is going through moments of happiness and moments of goodness, what happens is he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't remember that Allah, I need to worship Allah, because he has food on the plate, on the table. He doesn't remember that I have to pray my 5 times salah, I have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to recite the Quran, because everything is going well in his life. His children are studying, his wife is happy, he's got a house, he's got a car, he's got a job, he's got money. Everything is working out smoothly. And those moments are very, very important for a person to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. That a person needs to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in both these conditions. Either a person is going to be a condition of bliss, or is going to have some challenges, or both. And we are in a position, alhamdulillah, that the majority of us will have both. We will have things to be grateful for, and we will have some challenges as well. Because we are human beings, and this is a darul imtihan, and a place of test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us part of. So we have to do both. Now, in terms of certain things, in terms of, you know, when we go to a place where we are going for ta'ziyah, and we go and we are looking out, or we are trying to help and benefit the family of the deceased, what should we do? First and foremost, pray for the deceased. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Rauf Sahab, there was a friend of mine who lost his grandfather. So I went to see him, and he said that, you know, staying in the company of pious people, of people who have experience, who are the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it really benefits you. So he said that he came for a few moments, and he said to us, Mawlana Abdul Rauf Sahab, Hafidhahullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lengthen his shade over the whole of the community of Batli with afia for many, many years to come. He's a true blessing for the community of Batli. We may not realize, but he's a true blessing for the community of Batli. So he said to this friend of mine, he said that one is that a person sends isale thawab, meaning he does some good deeds and he sends the reward. He sends the reward to the person that, you know, he reads some Quran and says, Ya Allah, give the reward to the deceased, which is established and permissible. So a person does this. He reads some Quran or performs salah, or whatever he does, some nafil ibadah, and he sends the reward to the deceased. He gives some sadaqah. And one is that a person, he makes dua for the deceased. He makes dua for the deceased. So he says the example is, and a teacher, a very good teacher, will always be able to give you a metaphoric example. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a master at this. He read the hadith and he would explain to the sahaba through metaphoric examples. So he says, it's like when a person is in prison. Now, the one on the outside sends him food, sends him clothes, sends him whatever money, whatever it may be. And that's going to benefit him. Why? Because he's going to be able to eat the food, he's going to be able to benefit from the clothes. And on the other hand, he is also trying to get in touch with some lawyers and some solicitors and some individuals who are experts in the field of law to try and release him from prison. So he says that sending reward to the deceased is like sending the food, the water, the whatever it may be, the provisions. And making dua and maghfirat and asking for forgiveness is like going and making an effort to try and get this person released from prison and absolved from any of the crimes that he's done. So a person, if we, as you know, we should do both, but when we have lost somebody or someone has left this world and they were close to us, every single day we should make dua for them. And as an extension, even those individuals that came in our generation previously, and we don't even know them. So we know our father, we know our grandfather. Some of us may know our great-grandfather. Very few of us will know our great-great-grandfather. And probably none of us will know our great-great-great-grandfather. And beyond this, maybe there's one or two people that maybe will know their shajara, the lineage that they have. But what we do know is that they existed. We know they came because we are here. So we should make dua for every single one of them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they were believers, and those that were believers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make their grave from the gardens of Jannah. And this is our duty and responsibility. Because if we do this today, in 100 years time, 200 years time, 300 years time, when our progeny, and we become the great, 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 great grandfather, four times over, then inshallah, our progeny will make dua for us. So this is something to understand, a very subtle point that Maulana mentioned, which is, you know, very, very beneficial. Another thing that a person can do when they go and visit is mention the good qualities of the deceased. That we go there, and the family gains solace from this. That, you know, your father, he would do this for me. You know, I had this meeting with your father, and they won't even know about it. And you'll see the smile on their face. It brings them peace. Be someone who's going to benefit others. Don't be someone that's going to harm people. So this is something that we can do as well. We can also give good advice. If we have knowledge and we are going to give good advice, then we can give good advice. And also isale sawab and making dua, we already mentioned. Just to quickly finish, and certain things that we shouldn't do, and these are quite prevalent within our community and society, that don't talk about worldly affairs. Ta'ziyah can happen for 5-10 minutes, finish. You go there, you meet the person, the family, the person that you knew, the extended family maybe, you sit there for a little while, read whatever Quran, make some dua for the deceased and leave. Nowadays what happens is many a time people will spend hours and hours there. And because a person gets bored, then he will speak to the next person, oh, do you know this news? Oh, do you know this thing happened? Oh, do you know this happened? And we start talking about worldly affairs. And at certain points, it's giving difficulty to the family. They are thinking about what's just happened, what were the final moments were, and we are sat there thinking, we are benefiting. Here's my friend, I'm staying here for the whole day. I'm staying here for the whole day, sitting there. And because of shame, they won't say anything to us. Or because they've known us for too long, they won't have the ability to, and because of the sensitivity of the time, they won't have the ability to come and tell us, no, but it's better if you leave. We should understand that, okay, I've sat here for 5-10 minutes, I've done, I've explained, I've said some good words, I've advised if I can, I've read some Quran, or I've made some dua for the deceased, now I leave. The point isn't to sit there for hours and hours. So it shouldn't become a social gathering, a gathering where we meet and we start talking about what's going on. The other thing is, obviously, being aware of committing sins, you know, making sure that there's no free mixing and all of those things as well. And one other point is that where the money goes. So many a times, a person will leave this world and the family now are in charge, and certain things that they will spend money on, which is completely, you know, not it can't be justified. So for example, you know, having a stone on the grave, sometimes it costs thousands of pounds, hundreds of pounds. A little plaque there just to say who he is one thing. But then to spend on marble and designs and all of these things, this is completely contrary to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, that money that we were going to spend, take that and do some sadaqah jariyah for the deceased. That will benefit them. This is not going to benefit them. So this is something to think about. And we may think, oh yeah, but the rest of the family have done it, so I have to do it as well. We have to buck the trend, as they say. We have to make sure that we go against the trend and go according to the trend of the Quran and Sunnah. And ultimately, we want to benefit the deceased, not the rest of the family and their thinking and their thought processes. So it's something to think about. So these are some points that come to mind in terms of, you know, ta'ziyah and making sure that we take part in this amal. We take some time out of our busy schedules and go and visit the family of the deceased and benefit them, and ultimately benefit the deceased by making dua for them. And whether we know them or we don't know them, obviously if a person knows somebody who has left the world, it's a bit easier to do ta'ziyah because obviously you have this connection. But even for those people who we don't know and have left this world, there'll be many that have, you know, that have been buried in the last week or in the last month that we didn't know. We should make dua for them. Inshallah, there will be individuals that will remember us. And the same way, just like we feel this pain, just like we feel the pain for, you know, ourselves as well, right? There's a saying of a wise person. He says that if you feel pain, you are alive. But if you feel other people's pain, then that means you're a human being. And this is the reality. We need to feel the pain of whoever is suffering around the whole world. And in whichever way that they're suffering, in whatever is happening, whether it's our family, whether it's the ummah at large, and we should think about the suffering that they're going through and we should make dua for them. And if we sometimes just sit in a corner and just think about the condition of the Muslims around the world and just our family and just the whole community at large, tears will start flowing from our eyes. But then what do we do with those tears? And first and foremost, do we actually sit in a corner in seclusion and just think? Or do we just continue going around the wheel like the hamster does and just continue going round and round and round and round and round? Because one day we'll fall off. And when that day comes, when we fall off, it'll be too late. So it's our moment. This is our moment. We should spend and, think about, and it goes without saying in terms of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in China, wherever, there are many that can be mentioned. But it's our responsibility to think about them, to make dua for them. The least we can do is make dua for them. The least we can do, meaning that there's not anything physical that we can do. The least, not in terms of what the fruits will be of dua. Dua is very powerful. Dua is silahul mu'min, the weapon of the believer. So we say least in the sense that that's because we are weak. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, assist us, and make us believers who follow the Quran, the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. There's a request to just stand up and just fill in the gaps. I know there's a lot of gap at the back, but if we just make the soft, especially those that are coming in, it just makes it easier and quicker, inshallah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله
Are requested to move forward and fill in all the gaps in front of them, being mindful of those who are performing the salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وعلى من اهتدى بهداه أما بعد فقال تعالى وإذا حييتم بتحية فحيوا بأحسن منها أو ردوها إن الله كان على كل شيء حسيبا أيها السادة إن السلام سنة عظيمة من سنن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه من شعائر الإسلام كما قال عز وجل فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة هل أنتم تعلمون حينما خلق آدم وأذن له الرب تبارك وتعالى بلقاء الملائكة أمره بهذا السلام كما جاء في الحديث عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خلق الله آدم على صورته طوله 60 ذراعا فلما خلقه قال اذهب فسلم على أولئك النفر وهم نفر من الملائكة جلوس فاستمع ما يجيبونك فإنها تحيتك وتحية ذريتك فذهب فقال السلام عليكم فقالوا السلام عليك ورحمة الله فزادوه ورحمة الله فينبغي للمسلم أن يبدأ بالسلام على من يلقاه يعرفه أم لم يعرفه صغيراً أم كبيراً اتباعاً لسنة نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام فإنه كان يبدأ بالسلام حتى على الصبيان الصغار. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، أيها الناس، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد البشير النذير والسراج المنير، وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن سائر الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداء الدين، وانصر عبادك الموحدين. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم انصرهم، اللهم انصرهم، اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم اهدي أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم احفظ المسجد الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. آمين يا رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
They are requested to straighten the rows, fill in all the gaps. Those that are in the corridor, they are requested to quickly move towards the masjid and fill in all the gaps. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات،
بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله
Mm-hmm.